Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy. I'm joined for this afternoon show by my compadre, Mr. Mike Jakubik. Michael, let's begin as we always do with a prayer. We'll do the prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I got about 3 degrees here to finish out the month. How about we get those out of the way?
Sounds good, Joseph.
All right. On Wednesday, January the 16th, a formation or second degree will be conducted by St. Rose of Lima Council, 10870. They're located at 115 North Besecker Road in Thomasville. Candidates should arrive no later than 6:30, and the degree is to begin at 7 p.m. And then on Tuesday, January the 22nd, an admission or first degree is going to be conducted by your home council, 12788. They're located at St. Joseph's Church, 410 East Simpson Street, Mechanicsburg. Candidates should arrive no later than 6:30, and the degree is to begin at 7. And lastly, for the month of January, on January Sunday the 27th, a third degree or NITO degree is going to be conducted by Father Edward Garrity Council, 10474. They're located at 3595 Conewago Creek Road in Manchester. Candidates should arrive no later than 1:30, and the degrees are to begin at 2 p.m., and that's that.
Actually, Joe, it's a good way to start off the new year, bring a new candidate in, and he can get his first, second, and third degrees, and come February 1st, he's already a full knight.
There you go. Doesn't get any better than that, my friend.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know how you can do it. It's a good time. The thing that people should remember, the formation degree, the one you had mentioned in Thomasville, with St. Rose of Lima, that's also the same night location that we're going to be doing a chapter meeting. So it's a really even better opportunity. You get to see how the chapter works and then go to the formation degree.
There you go. Well, it's all right
there.
There
it is. Perfect
come right
day.
Together.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. I know I had you. I don't say I had you.
Well, you sent me on a trip.
I sent you on a trip down to Mercersburg, Hagerstown area. Why don't you give us a little brief synopsis, and I'll get this
keyed up
and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, what happened was is our state deputy wanted to welcome John Moore. John Moore is an individual from Gallup, New Mexico, and he decided to walk from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. To participate in the March for Life. Our state deputy thought it was only fitting and proper that if he came through the state of Pennsylvania, that the Knights would assist him from Pennsylvania. And also, our state deputy actually walked along with them during his trek from Mercersburg down to a council in Hagerstown, Maryland.
That's about a 20-mile trip.
Yeah, about 19, a little bit over 19.
Wow.
Now we'll talk about, how do you hear the interview and everything? We can talk about it.
We'll talk about it some more,
a little
sure.
bit more.
All right, let me see if we can't cue up this interview, Michael.
Here we are in Hagerstown, Maryland, at the Pangborn Council, 1365. And everybody's probably saying, why? Well, the reason is we're going to talk to John Moore, an individual who's doing really a walk for life. And our state deputy, Mark Jago, has been with him for the past few miles, and we'll get his response to that. But right now, John Moore, the question everybody wants to know is why?
The best way I explain it I use the comparison of Calvin Coolidge when he was talking to veterans. He said, if a country forgets its defenders, will itself be forgotten. And that's the same way with the March for Life and the unborn. If we forget these children that were aborted, the value and the sanctity of life will eventually fade away as well. We always have to make sure that we honor the sanctity of life and pray for it and stand up for it.
I noticed, John, that you're actually from New Mexico, I believe.
I'm from Gallup, New Mexico. Yes, sir.
All right, but that's not where you started your walk from.
No, I started it in San Francisco, and the reason I chose that is that's where I started Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco. That's where the West Coast March for Life is held. And I'm going all the way across the country, and I'm going to end up in Washington, D.C. on January 18th, the day the National March for Life is held on the East Coast in the Mall of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, those few miles will be anticlimactic to how many miles you've put in. What is going to be the distance from San Francisco to Washington?
Approximately 2,900 miles.
And I got to tell you, John, you look in great shape, which you most likely are. How old are you, John?
I'm 68.
Fantastic. I know you haven't done this alone. You've had a companion with you, and would you like to introduce her?
As a support vehicle, my daughter Laura has been following me. I have 6 children. She's my youngest.
Okay, so the youngest got picked on. So how was it, Laura?
It's been slow, one day at a time, kind of dull, but good.
So I can imagine that both of you are very strong pro-life, or you wouldn't be doing this. So that's fantastic. Are you going to participate in the March for Life actually when you get to D.C.?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So you'll be marching together?
Yes.
All right. Now, I got to bring this up. I know our state deputy was an Army Airborne. And you all know I was a veteran. That was 50 years ago. So worthy state deputy Brother Mark, how was this march?
Oh, it was wonderful. I had a really great time walking with John, getting to know him, and I wouldn't do it again tomorrow. It's been some time since I've rucked up, but the weather cooperated with us today. For the most part, it got a little cooler in the afternoon, but it was a great experience.
Good, and I'm glad you were able to represent the Knights of Columbus out of the state of Pennsylvania. And I know it was the last trip, I guess, from Mercersburg,
mm-hmm.
Down into Hagerstown, where we're at the Pangborn Council. So that was kind of neat. John, tell us a little bit about the interesting parts, because I've walked in the higher altitudes, and that's really tough if you're not used to it. And so what was it like crossing the Rockies?
It wasn't that. The hardest part was going up Sierra Nevadas. The Rockies, we were more the north of it. It wasn't really that bad. But I live at and work at 7,900 feet altitude, so It doesn't bother me walking on those high altitude roads. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little different because when we're down here, we're used to 2,500 feet, and when you go up to 9,000, that's really a nasty trip.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say to everybody about why pro-life is so important to you?
Well, I opened the Bible. Last time I checked, the thou shalt not kill was still in there, and I think we ought to follow God's commandments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, I'm impressed, and I know everyone else is. Again, we are here at the Pangborn Council, 1365 in Maryland, and they were nice enough to host us at the end of your day trip today. So say have some of the officers are here, and the Grand Knights here. Come on over, Fred. Tell us a little bit about your council.
Well, we're a 7-parish council. We have about 270 members. And like any council, most of them are sort of quiet members, but we do have a number. But our main thrust is a lot of financial support to the parishes, especially in the PSR programs and supporting the priests like the Supreme Council wants us to do. So that's our main reason for being. And we finance that with a weekly bingo. So if you're in the area hearing this, Carlisle's not that far. Come on down and play some bingo.
Isn't that amazing? Catholic Church, Knights of Columbus, bingo. It just seems to get into the conversation, so that's really good. We appreciate you being able to stop by and talk to us. We really and truly do. And we do appreciate the Pangborn Council for allowing all of us to stop here and to have a few minutes of rest and some time together, a little socialization before John is going to continue on to his trek. I guess you'll be spending the night now, and then you'll be starting back up again tomorrow.
Yes.
Our state deputy and I will be heading back into Pennsylvania. And
to my jurisdiction.
Yes, and we'd like to thank, was it Dale Tott?
Dale Tott.
Dale
State
Tott.
Deputy of Maryland for helping Trot.
Yeah. Dale Trot.
For coordinating all this and giving me permission to come down here.
Yeah, so we do appreciate all of it, and on behalf of all the members of the Knights of Columbus, whether they're from Maryland, Pennsylvania, or the whole entire order, we are pro-life, and it's something that we're proud of, and we know John is, so we hope all of you are able to meet John and see him down in Washington.
Oh, one other thing, if you were trying to raise money for sonogram machines, you know, we can't always influence Supreme Court decisions, the executive or judicial or legislative branches and how they legislate or decide on pro-life issues. But as ordinary citizens, we can contribute to sonogram machines and save lives. 86 out of 100 women that go in, that are considering abortion, and they see their baby on a sonogram machine, decide to keep their child. So that's how the Knights have raised money for over 1,000 of these. Now you figure 150, 200 women per sonogram machine per year, that adds up to almost 200,000 children has been saved. So if you'd like to contribute to these sonogram machines, just go knightsofcolumbus.org. Click on the right-hand corner, click on the heart. It says donate, and donate to the Culture of Life. By doing that, can make a difference in saving a child's life, regardless of what legislative decisions or executive decisions or Supreme Court decisions are made. Okay.
Fantastic. I know since we're on that subject, our state deputy, I'm sure, would like to mention how many we've brought into the state of Pennsylvania.
43. And we are at the point now we are replacing some of the older machines as well. We were close to being the 1,000th machine. We missed it by one. We actually had the 983rd, the 998th, and the 999th machines who all came out of Pennsylvania.
Great. And I mean, you know, we all talk about how many lives we'd save with that. But when you think about it, if your council raises the $15,000 that you need, even if you brought in 40 machines and you only saved one life, it's worth it. Well worth it.
I agree.
So, my brothers, thank you so very much. Laura, it was nice meeting you. And again, thank you for what you're doing and making the march well known by all.
Michael, what a nice interview. What a nice man.
Yes.
You know, we'll continue this. We're coming up on our heartbreak. The music is playing in my ears. We'll get into this interview and discuss that some more after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon show, as usual, by my buddy who I had on the road down in Mercersburg, Hagerstown area, to catch up with John Moore. We're going to discuss a little bit about that and why he's doing what he's doing all the way from the West Coast. Michael?
Yeah, I tell you, Joseph, it was fun. It was exciting. I think it was an honor for our state night, simply because of the fact that when we talked to John, now, he did not publicize it because he didn't want a bunch of knights stopping him along the road. And, you know, to get a big, if you got a big contingent walking with you, there's some real problems on the back roads. I mean, you'd have to worry about permits and letting everybody, you know that you're there. So he didn't get a lot. But the one nice thing is when our knights found out about him coming into the state, they notified our state deputy, and then we responded accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I was talking to our state deputy, and we had one council. The family actually took Laura and John in.
and had them stay there instead of staying in a motel.
Yeah, sure, save a couple of bucks, sure.
So what our state deputy did, and I tell you, I got to hand it to him. I honestly do. I was joking with Laurel when we saw them walking up, because when John and Mark were walking, they actually carry a rosary attached or made on the back of a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry the cross on their back while they're walking. So it was something to see, and we had... Alexis and I were driving in the car, and we had passed them, and I saw where they were walking. And at that time, they were probably about 800 meters or so away from the council home. So then when I got out of the car, I started walking back toward them to get some pictures. And when that happened, Mark saw me, so he gets into the parachute shuffle, and he starts doing the little jog that paratroopers do. And I've done it before when I was in the service. It really does take a lot of strain off. You move faster than a walk.
Yes.
But you're not running where you have a lot of impact. So Mark coming up, and typical Army paratroop function.
Yeah,
I had a hand to him. I really do. I was talking with Laura, like I said, and we were joking about it. And she said she doesn't know how Mark did it. To start cold, because he did not have any time to prepare for this. And to do 19 miles is one heck of a trek. I mean, I golf. People know that I walk, you know, and I walk the 18 holes on a really long course. I might be putting in close to 6 miles, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
But to do that 3 times plus in a 6 hour period is a lot of effort. And Mark held up very well. Laura was telling me, she said her dad trained for weeks
in order to start country,
to start the walk. And she said she couldn't believe the grit and the gumption that Mark had just starting off cold and keeping up with her dad for the whole 19 miles. So,
well, he is in pretty decent shape.
Yeah, he
our
is.
State
and,
deputy.
So
we gotta, but even so, yeah.
Let's hand it to Mark. I think one of the things it does show is the fortitude and the effort that he puts forth. And he does that as the state deputy for our state also. So I can guarantee everyone, if you have any doubts that Mark is going to not accomplish what he wants to accomplish, you're wrong. And you can just see that by the character of the man. And I think he displayed that character very well in his walk with John. And it was a good time. And he was carrying a bigger load than John, because John's daughter, the way that it kind of works is John gets up in the morning and Laura, and they head out. Well, John walks 3 to 4 miles, and Laura goes in the vehicle ahead of him to be, you know, for mm-hmm. him to
yeah.
catch up. And she carries his goodie pack. Now, he has a light pack on his back other than the cross. And, you know, I would assume water, the normal little necessities that you need. But then when he catches up to Laura, if he needs food or anything, it's there. Well, in the case of our state deputy, he had to carry everything. So his pack was a little bit heavier and a little bit bigger. So he was hanging in there, though. And it was really an exciting time to see the two of them walking down the road. It really was. And I got a lot of pictures. We're going to get them on the state website.
There you go.
And
there you go.
We got pictures of him at the two of them actually completing their walk into Mercersburg and in being in front of the council home. And the council there treated us very nicely.
It was nice of them to go out, go out of their way and help you out.
It was one of those weird things. I mean, I think it happens a lot. But, you know, they wanted us all to come into the home. And wouldn't you know it, the heater was broke. here it is. It's a cold day. And we get in the home, and it wasn't much warmer. It's a little bit warmer, but not much. But they had coffee, they had soda, they had fruit drinks and everything for us. And then that's where we did the interview. We went into the council chambers, and we did the interview in there. And there were more people to interview. I wish I could have got them all to talk, but to be honest with you, I just didn't remember all their names. I remember Fred the Grand Knight, so that was kind of easy. But their financial secretary was there. They had about 4 other members. They do bingo every Tuesday. So they were starting to get everything ready for the next day. So they're getting everything out. So there was a lot of guys there. But they were very hospitable, just like Brother Knights anywhere. I've been out to Arizona. I've gone to meetings. I've gone to meetings, you know, in our state. I've met with Knights from other states. And, you know, brothers are brothers.
Amen.
They welcome you in, and they treat you as best they can, you know, under the circumstances. I'm sure they would have like to have heat that day too. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, stuff happens, and it was
maybe
just one of those days.
The secretary didn't cut the check to pay for the fuel.
Well, I think what happened was no, it actually broke down because they said you know they had to get it ready for the next day now. So
yeah.
They're getting guys to come out and do the repairs. Unfortunately, just that we happened to hit right then. I also have a couple of pictures of the cross. They are going to, John is going to actually present it to the Knights down at in Washington after the March for Life.
Now he's going to go from Hagerstown down so that he's in Washington and then walk in the March for Life?
Yeah, he's going to be there. Laura will walk. We were talking to her. That's his daughter. She's really a nice young lady, and she's going to also participate in March for Life, but she also said she did not walk with Dad on this journey. She said she strictly was the driver and just made sure he was okay.
Yeah, his logistical engineer.
She did the thing. It was kind of funny because they told us how they picked the routes. I mean, you know, you have to be careful because on a few interstates across the country, he could walk, but a lot of states do not allow you on the interstate.
And you've got to check all of this stuff out before you even set out.
And she was telling us that when you look at Google and you tell them that it's a walk, well, then there's other problems because it'll throw you onto the Appalachia Trail. And they didn't want that because then the vehicle can't follow.
Exactly.
So it got kind of, you know, they had to make modifications just about every day onto where they were going to be.
Well, bless you, my friend.
Thank you. I apologize to everyone. I had a sneeze. And so she said it was kind of strange because at night they would look up to see how they were going to go, but the Google Maps wouldn't necessarily pick out the best route. So they had to look for side roads and all of that.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, just to come that distance from San Francisco, where the March for Life San Francisco is,
yep.
And then come all the way to D.C. and be there in time for January 18th when the march takes place down there.
I believe he started March of 2018.
And he's coming over through, what, the Sierra Nevada?
Sierra Nevada, as he said, was his roughest time, the Rockies. He came kind of stayed, I guess, up on the northern tier.
Okay.
But when you meet the man, you see that he is honestly doing this because he believes in life.
Well, like he said, when he opened the Bible, the last time he checked, thou shalt not kill commandment was still there. And that's why we're pro-life.
Right. And, you know, I guess I have to bring this up just because it was during the time frame that this happened. But, you know, we've had people in our political realm saying that a wall is immoral, and yet it's not immoral to kill babies.
Amen.
And it's just... I mean, the dichotomy is just so great. I mean, it's just hard to fathom saying that, you know, we can't afford to bring everybody into our country, and that's an immoral act, but we can afford to kill babies, and that's an acceptable act. And I really and truly believe, you know, if you're listening out there, I think it's time to wake up because our morals are really backwards. I mean, I just can't understand it.
They're in a real bad place.
Yeah,
they really are. We need to turn this around. And when you see the amount of sonogram ultrasound machines that we've put in pregnancy facilities across the state of, or across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, just our Knights, our brother Knights of the state. You know, if we save one baby with each machine, there's what, 45, 50 machines that we've put out there so far?
Yeah, and I think our state has 43, something like that. And then the nation, we've done over 1,000.
Yeah.
One of the things that was interesting is our state deputy, Mark, had mentioned that we were like really close. I think we put in the 998th machine, the 999th machine, but we missed being the 1,000th machine put in. And that would have been a milestone, but we were right up there near it. So, and that's congratulating all of our brother knights in the state of Pennsylvania, because I know that they worked hard to raise the money. It took an effort from everyone, but the cause is so good. I mean, again, just like you said, Joe, if you only save one baby, the cost was worth it.
And that's why we're here. That's why Catholic Radio and shows like Night Talk and the other shows that come from EWTN or that we produce or locally at the station, that's why it's so important.
Yeah.
That's why we need your support and just do what you got to do to make this work.
Yeah, I think
we're going to get this taken care of.
Yeah, two things we need is, you know, we need the support at the radio station, and we need your support. If you're a male, we really need you to think about joining the Knights of Columbus, because I think in a nutshell, one of the things that you hear, if not the Knights, then who? And I think that's been reiterated by our Pope, our Bishop. We really and truly need to do things as members of the Knights of Columbus to strengthen our faith, and the new Faith in Action programs do that.
Not to change gears.
No,
it changes subjects on us. Our station manager just walked in here, just handed me an email that pertains to us. The annual Knights of Columbus Basketball Free Throw Championships are coming up, and that's going to be on Sunday, January the 13th, which is this coming Sunday, and they're going to be held at Resurrection Catholic School Gym, 521 East Orange Street in Lancaster, from 1 until 4 o'clock. So if you get a chance... And whether you're a Brother Knight or not, go on down. They can always use extra help.
Yeah, and I think this is a good opportunity that if you aren't a Knight and you ever want to see what the Knights do, get over there to Lancaster. I think we're also doing it at St. Patrick's at the same time for the districts. But I'm not positive.
Right.
I'm not positive of the date. I had heard it, but I didn't log it in. It may even be this. I think it might be this weekend. 12th through the 13th over at St. Patrick's.
I think you're right.
For the district.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much going to put a lid on this show, Michael.
That sounds good, Joseph.
All right. I thank you for coming in. I thank you for running down there to Mercersburg and doing what you did, you and Mark. And I hope everybody in our listening audience enjoyed the interview. With that, for Night Talk, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening, and God bless.